Bless you. Well, a few away this morning, but the hungry ones are here, amen? You're hungry? Amen. I'm talking about lunch. You can forget about it. We'll have that in a little while. But you're hungry for God and the things of God. Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to continue our series this morning about radical love. And it was wonderful with the conference and our speakers. They picked up our theme of radical love. And I pray that we're really getting something in our spirit, that we are really changing as a result of these things that God is showing. Really, look, we get so much in this church that is just given to us, and we're so blessed. And the challenge for us is to not walk away, oh, that was good, but it's, no, this is what I've changed. This is how I've changed. This is what God has imparted into my life. At the end of the day, all the things that we learn, everything, we are grow church, we are growing, but the proof at the end of the day is when we look at our own life and say, yes, Lord, I am growing. And remember that we were challenged and reminded even last week that really that is up to us. Whether we grow in God or not doesn't depend on anyone else other than ourselves. And so our heart is all we want to grow. Lord, we're not here to play games. It's not a game. This is life, and it matters so much that we live our life to the full, that we, in Ephesians 5:2, that we live that life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is about life. This is about everyday life. This is about not just what happens on a Sunday morning. This is Monday to Saturday. It's also Sunday. It's every day of our life stuff. And if we grab a hold of it, we are such a powerful and awesome people. But if we just take it, you know, well, here we go again, then we'll just be walking around that circle. I saw that really clear, that picture. It wasn't necessarily spinning, but just people walking in these circles. And we can do that. We can live our lives. And we can choose whether we live like that, or whether we go forth and live this life of love, just as Christ gave himself up for us as that fragrant offering, that sacrifice to God. And I encourage us, you know, we were encouraged about our attendance at church, you know, to make sure that we're there, that we make sure it's a priority. We were encouraged to make the things of God a priority, about the Word of God, to be reading the Word of God, all those things that we were encouraged on. And I pray and trust that we're really going to continue to grow in God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Even, we just had a miracle then. We just had some dead people rise then. They just said amen. I praise God. I want to talk this morning about the aspect of loving one another. And it's a very powerful aspect of the kingdom of God. In 1 John 15:12, Jesus says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So this is a command that Jesus gives. Doesn't give a lot of commands actually in the Bible. If you have a look at what Jesus tells us to do, remember every command that God had, every requirement, everything in the New Testament, every ordinance, every regulation, every commandment, everything was all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He fulfilled everything for us so that we don't have to try to fulfill them. He actually fulfilled them for us. He fulfilled all of God's law, and that this Christ's law that we live now to fulfill. And it's quite easy what Jesus tells us to do, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our strength, our soul, everything that was in us, to love God, to love our neighbours, ourselves. But the command, which is really restated, to love one another. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And so this is a command. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so this is an easy thing to do. It's easy to love one another. You think, well, yeah, that sounds great, but the reality is maybe it's not so easy. But Jesus doesn't tell us to do something that was impossible or that we couldn't do. He tells us to love one another. I command you to do this. And as I said before, God's not an unfair God that he tells us to do stuff that you can't do. And you can say, oh, well, that's great. He tells me to do something. I'm never going to be able to love each other as I loved you, but he's commanded us to do that. Didn't say, look, it's a good idea, guys. I really encourage you. Be really nice. It'd really make me happy if you love one another as I loved you. But he actually gives a command, and he commands us and says, love one another as I've loved you. And so I want to talk about this love and how do we know whether we're actually doing that? I mean, I feel warm and fuzzy when I'm around everybody. Is that how I know that I'm loving one another? How do I determine that? How do I know if I'm fulfilling this command? Because I'm sure every one of us here, our heart is that we want to love God with all our heart, and we want to honor him with our whole life, and that we want to serve him with every part of our being. How do we fulfill this command to love each other as I have loved you? Well, that's what I talk about. How do you know whether you really are loving one another? And how do we grow in that? Because we want to grow. Well, one of the important things to note, and even Pastor Steve mentioned it, and we've said it before, that one thing about loving one another is it actually requires one another. We can't actually love one another without one another. So if you're not here, then it's hard for us to love you. I mean, we can love you and do something for you. You're still alive and we can reach out to you. But when we're in relationship, fellowship together, when you're in the home group, it's easier to love one another when you're in the home group because everyone's there and you can pray for one another, support one another, care for one another, lots of things that we can do. And there's a thing about being together. It's hard for a monk that's up on the mountain to fulfill this command. In fact, he can't. Particularly if he's got a vow of silence as well. He can never talk to anyone or just up there and he's up there, just there. He's on the mountain and he's just praying and loving God. But he can never fulfill the righteousness of God in terms of what he's requiring us to do. He can be saved and go to heaven because Jesus died for him. But he's never going to fulfill this command of loving one another on their own. So the point is God made us for each other. We need one another. We need one another. It's quite often we forget that. We forget the need that we have for each other. But not only do we need one another, if I'm going to fulfill the command of Christ, I need you so that I can do that. I can't love you if I don't know you or if you're not here. We need one another to fulfill this command and that heart that we have for one another. John 1:4-12, it says this. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, that phrase love one another, about 10 times it comes through, about 11 times actually in the New Testament. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. His love's made complete in us if we love one another. So if I'm the monk, I'm up there, I'm on the mountain, and I'm just loving God, and I don't need to go to church, I don't need church, I can love God wherever I am. And have you ever heard somebody say that? You ever heard someone, I don't need to go to church, I can love God wherever I am. Well, that's really is an admission of a bitter heart, a heart that's hurt and a damaged heart. That really is that expression. Because the reality is that we cannot actually be a Christian and be at home on our own and say that I am a Christian, but I don't need to church. I don't need to go to church. Now, we can be saved and we can love God, but we cannot do what God asks of us, and that is to love one another if we're not connected to one another in that way. And the context of all these one another's was in the sense of within the body of Christ, and particularly in the context of the letters that were written even to local churches about loving one another. And so we do need one another. We can't say, oh, I don't need anyone. I can just love God. It's just like saying, you know, look, I can love, you know, I can love you, but I hate your wife. I don't have anything to do with your wife. I mean, how would you feel if someone said that to you? Oh, I really love you. I appreciate it. I can't stand your wife, but I love you. How would you feel? Now, hang on. If you can't love my wife, how can you say that you love me? Because two are one, you know. We're one flesh together. We're one. You love me, you love my wife. You don't love my wife, you don't love me. And yet we think, some people think they can do that with God. Oh, I love God. I hate the church, but I love God. It doesn't work that way. And so his love is made complete in us. Does that mean that his love for us is lacking in any way, that God doesn't love me enough? No, what it really means is that the expression of God's love is ultimately experienced in the context of us being a community, being a fellowship, being people together, being a body together. That's the context of experiencing the love of God. So if you want to experience more of the love of God, it's not up on the mountaintop. Now, we all need to take time aside. We need to pray. So important that we have that time alone with God and that we're reading and we're the Word of God and that we're praying and God touches us. We have intimacy with our Father, but it doesn't just stay there. It's really in the context of one another. The expression of God's love is so important and that really outworks through our lives. God will touch us through worship and those things. And that's why do we sing together? Why do we worship together? Why don't we just do that bit at home? You know, I can worship at home. I can praise God in my home. I can worship while I'm doing the dishes. I can worship in the car. Well, why spend time doing that at church together? Why not get that bit done at home and we can just come here, we'll listen to the Word and enjoy some fellowship together? Because there's something about us worshiping God together that when I'm expressing my love to God and God's expressing his love to me, there's something that overflows from every heart and we are all greatly touched and enriched from that. That's why I don't come late for the singing. Don't come. It's not just singing. It's loving God, and there's something. We're missing out on a part of the love of God when you're not here, because it's made complete as we're worshiping together. There's something about the love of God that is manifest within his body that we're not going to get on our own, that we're not going to experience on our own. We miss out on something of the love of God. I want the love of God to be made complete in me. He loves me completely. He loves me totally. He doesn't love me more when I come to church. Doesn't love me more when I'm involved with his body. He loves me the same, but the expression and the experience of that love is made known and realized when we're together. That's when the love of God is made complete within us. And so you can't experience the fullness of God's love without one another. You can't. Not only can you not honor that command to love one another, but you can't experience the fullness of God. Who wants to experience the fullness of God? I'm just looking for those I need to pray for. Those people with sore arms who can't raise them, need healing. We all want to experience the fullness of God's love. Well, that's the only way you're going to do that. And it's in that context. So to experiencing that love, complete love, his love is made complete in us. Now, what we want to do is we want to grow in our love. We grow, church. We want to grow. We want to grow in every area of our life, and we want to grow in love. And 1 Peter 22 gives us a little challenge here. It says, 1 Peter 22, 23, it says this. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth. So we purify ourselves. We give our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've had communion this morning. Remind us that the blood of Jesus Christ has washed us and cleansed us. And so that I have relationship with God. I have confidence before God. Now that you've purified yourself by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other. So that's the phileo kind of love. Remember, we've spoken about the different sorts of loves. That's the brotherly love. That's that affectionate love. I like you. You're really nice. We go to the same church. We're in the same family together. You're my brother. You're my sister. And, I just love you. Because we're brothers and sisters together. And that can be like a nice, warm, fuzzy, fluffy feeling. It's great to be together. We enjoy our fellowship. We love the cafe night because we can sit around and reach out and talk to people and to be with one another. We just love to be with each other. We don't want to miss church because I don't want to miss being with my family and my friends, and that sense of love and affection that we have for one another, which is very precious. And I praise God, it's very evident in the life of this church, that kind of affectionate kind of love one to another. And I praise God for that. But the scripture tells us, it says, since you've been saved, so number one, you were saved. Next thing is that you have that affection, that brotherly kind of love for one another. It says, move from that. It says, now you've got those things. It says, love, agape one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again. Love one another deeply, agape love, the same love that Jesus loves us with, from the heart, for you've been born again. Because before you're born again, you can't love like that. You cannot love like that. We can't have that love, and people will have that affection for one another, and people can be affectionate, but the kind of love, this radical love that we want to live in, we can't have that unless we're born again. But we've been born again. We've given our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've had our sins dealt with. We stand before him pure and faultless because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, people come along and they get saved and think, Jesus, there's a nice bunch of people. These are, and you are. You're a nice bunch of people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You are. You are. Look around. Aren't they nice? They're good people. They're really nice people. Very friendly, very warm, very open. They're a good bunch of people. And when people get saved, they go, this is really great. These are really nice people. And there's some people that have got saved this year because you are such a friendly, wonderful bunch of people. But it says, now that you've got that, now that you're maybe you've become friendly too, but it says, go on from that. It says to love one another deeply from the heart, which is that agape love. It's that unconditional type of love we've been talking about, that sacrificial kind of love, that selfless love. It's covenantal kind of love that comes out of a covenantal relationship that God has with us, but we even have one for the other because of Jesus Christ. And it says to grow on, move on from that. And so every one of us, we say, well, I want to know, how well am I moving? because I like everybody. I love them as in a brotherly way. I feel an affection towards them, and we're all like that. You look at people, yeah, they're okay. Linda's pretty good, isn't she? She's nice. She's good. You know, Graham's a good guy. He's really nice, and you know, it's great to see Anil here now, and others that we look around. Yeah, they're nice people, but we want to move on to something deeper from the heart. It says, now that you've got all that, well done, good start. But now move on to this deeper love. And it says, for you've been born again. So it's because we're born again, we can do this. If we weren't born again, then we couldn't. But because we are, we can. We can love one another deeply from the heart. And so how do we do that? How do we know that I'm doing that? I want to obey that command. I don't want to be ignorant and say, oh, Lord, I didn't realize. I thought I was loving everyone deeply. How do I know that I'm doing that? How do I know how I'm succeeding in that? Well, I just want to read Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. There's three main passages of Scripture I really want to look at. This is the first of the three main ones this morning. And it says this, instead speaking the truth in love. Now, we've talked about that before. We said about unconditional love. That's a part of it. One is that we obviously have to have that heart to be forgiving, but also to tell it like it is, speak the truth, but always in love, to be honest with one another. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow in every respect. That's what we're about. We're Grow Church. Every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. It builds itself up in love. It builds itself up in love, in agape. The body builds itself up in love. We want to grow in radical love. How do we build us? How do we build that love? We do it ourselves. We build up that love. It depends on every supporting ligament. It says it grows and it builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Hands up if you like that word. Some of you do, some of you don't. And I know that. Some of us don't think, oh, work. Why do I have to put the work bit? Oh, I like the warm and fuzzy bit. Oh, it's nice. We love one another. We can skip through the tulips together and the sun's shining and the rainbow comes out and all these things. But we work. What's work got to do with it? Work. It says, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. How do we become loving? How do we experience and see this radical love working? It says, as each part does its work. And the word means that each part plays its part. Each of us does its bit. All of us are responsible for this love level to rise in the life of the church. And for all of us to grow, we help one another grow in this. That's what I mean. I can't grow in my love for you if you're never there. If I don't know you, I can't grow my love for you. But if you're there where they're together, that love can grow for one another as each part does this. Every part. Each part. That doesn't mean the leaders. It doesn't mean a few ones that it will do all the stuff that they do. It means every one of us are going to help grow this love thing. Going to help us to do that as every part does its work. And every part has a part. If you read the rest of the, if you read 1 Corinthians 12, we're not going to go into that, but it talks about the parts of the body. And it says it doesn't. Now, the eye can't say, well, you know, because I'm an eye and you're just an ear, I don't need you. No, it says that's a nonsense. That's a bad attitude. And it says that if one part thinks, well, gee whiz, I'm not an eye. I'm just, I'm the left, I'm the little toe on the left foot. I'm not of any use. And the Bible says, no, that's rubbish too. It doesn't matter what you think. Every part is needed. And all of us are necessary to build up this love thing in the life of the church. As we all do our work, then that love will come and grow in our hearts. We build ourselves up, we grow in love as we do our work. And it's important that we're doing the work. And I praise God for those who work really hard. We had a lot of people work hard for the conference, and we have a lot of people that work through, but we need to all be doing our work because we all want to grow in this love thing, this radical love. We all want to grow in it. And it's each as we do our bit that it grows in our life. You know, sometimes the temptation is that we just leave things for someone, leave it for others to do. You know, I mean, there's a whole bunch of rosters there. And just if you're on a roster, make sure you got your roster today. But sometimes you can be on a roster and you're a little bit tired, a little bit busy. And so that you just, oh, look, I'll leave it. Someone else can do that. That's fine. Doesn't matter. I'm supposed to be doing tea and coffee. I said I would. But It doesn't build us up in love when we do that. If you're on a roster, you know, please make sure you do your part. If you're not on a roster, say, well, what can I do? Because it's actually, I want to grow in this love thing. I want the church to grow in this love thing. And it's got this word there, work. I like the love. It's all fluffy, but the work bit, it only grows as we do our work. So what is my work? What can I be doing to grow? It says to love one another. I'm not talking about outside the church as yet. We will talk about that. But it says the love of one another, and the context here, we are the one another. It's within the body of Christ. That's what we're talking about. Loving one another. As each does its work, I grow in this love thing. You grow in this love thing. As you do your part, the love thing grows. Why? Because as you're showing me love and I'm showing you love, the whole love thing grows in our heart. Each does our own thing, does our own part so that we grow in that love together. But sometimes we can be tempted to leave it. But I just want to, I want you all to be changed this morning. In the Bible, you'll hear the story about there was Abram. Remember Abram? Abram, whose name meant father. And God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which meant father of many nations. And so he gave him a new name. You think of someone like Jacob, whose name was supplanter or usurper. In other words, you rip people off to get what you want sort of name. That's what Jacob had. And then God changed his name to Israel, one who contends with God, one who struggles with God, gave him a new name. You see, Peter, Jesus gave him a new name. He had the name of Simon, which meant to be like a reed that you were just sort of flapping in the breeze, blowing in the wind, wavering reed. And he said, no, you're not a flapping in the breeze kind of person. No, you are Peter. You're a rock which will not move, and you'll be strong and you'll be steady. You're not going to move. Well, I want to give you a new name today. And so that you've come here this morning with one as one person, but you're going to go as somebody else. Okay? This is the name that I want to give you this morning. You ready? This is your name. It's somebody else. You're somebody else. Look at each other. You're now looking at somebody else. It's important because sometimes when you're there and you're in a rush, you want to go off, you've got to leave church because, you know, the turkey's roasting itself and it's not a very good cook. So you've got to rush off. It's all right. It doesn't matter. Somebody else will do it. You think, oh, hang on a moment. That's me. I'm somebody else. When you walk in there and there's papers there on the floor and there's a mess, oh, it's okay. Someone else, oh, hang on. Somebody else. That's me. I'll do that. I'm on the roster, but oh, look, I'm tired. I'm not going to make a swap or whatever. I'll just leave it for somebody else. Oh, hang on. That's me. I'm somebody else. So that's your new name. You're somebody else. Just shake the hands of the person next to you. Just say, how are you, somebody else? Okay. So you are all now somebody else. As each part does its work. So we all also like tea and coffee. And we love getting our cup of tea or coffee for those who drink tea and coffee. And you go there and it's all right, somebody else will serve. Oh, hang on a minute. Maybe I need to be serving because I'm somebody else now. And so we can't leave it. If there's a mess, whatever, to say, oh, it's all right, someone else. No, somebody else. No. That's me now. And if we grab a heart of that, is hang on, I am now somebody else. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to leave it to somebody else. I'm on the roster supposed to vacuum. I'm not going to leave it for somebody else. In fact, I'll jump in there and I'll do it because that's me now. I'm somebody else. If we can grab a hold of that attitude, now you think, oh, that's funny, haha, isn't that silly? It's not silly. If we actually grab a heart of this, a hold of that, then we grab a heart of really what love is, because it's through the acts of service, through works of service, that we build up this love thing. Wasn't it amazing? If you're a husband and wife, if they're wanting to serve one another, loving one another and saying, it's okay, I'll do it, sweetheart. No, it's okay, I'll do it. No, it's all right, I'll do it. Trying to outdo each other, just loving one another. Not trying to impress each other, not trying to impress anybody. Nobody's looking to be impressing anybody. Nobody's wanting to do stuff because, oh, it's my duty, I'll grip my teeth and do it. There's no love in that and there's no life in that. But if we say, Lord, I just love with all my heart. And I love these people and I want to serve them. And so, yeah, I'm going to be that somebody else. I want to grow. I want to grab a hold of this love thing. And that word work is in there. Grows and builds itself up in what? In love. How do I build the love thing in my own life? How do I build the love thing in other people's life? I do the work. I do my part. I can't do everything. I can't do all the parts. And trouble is, some of us think we can't do anything. Well, you can. We have working bees, for example. How many leave that for somebody else? But we say there's a working bee next week and it's for somebody else. Oh, that's me. I'm somebody else. And so, you know, we can do all sorts of things. There's many, many things that we can do. I praise God for those people that do it fantastically faithful. You know, look, I keep mentioning it because I always get impressed when I see our lawns, for example. We've got a lot of grass around the whole building. You know, it's like 100 metres this way and that way is a lot. It's always done. It's because someone does that. And I praise God for that. How much more, though, if every one of us does our part, how the love thing grows. You want to be more loving in your life? You want to be feeling more love, more of the love of God being complete in your life? Get a hold of that. Get a hold of this work bit that the love will grow. And it's quite clear from Scripture. Have a look at 1 John 3. We'll read this one. And it says, this is 1 John 3, 16 to 18. It says, this is how we know what love is. Now, we've already said that we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. I wouldn't have a cracker about what love meant. I wouldn't have a clue if Jesus hadn't died what real love was about. It was all warm, fluffy little feelings. No, it's something that actually he gave everything. He laid his life down. True love, truly sacrificed his life. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Which means, how do I do that? I realize, hang on, I'm somebody else now. I'm the somebody else who's going to do it. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? I didn't write this stuff. It's what it says. How can the love of God be in them? It says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Because it's very easy to say, oh, I love you, and then forget about you 2 seconds later. We can do that. Our speech is very easy to say stuff, isn't it? Words can come very cheaply sometimes. It says, don't just say you love you. I love God and I love his people. But talk can be very cheap. It says, don't just do it like that. It says, but with actions and in truth. So ultimately, how do I know whether I'm really flowing in this love thing? If I'm fulfilling this command of the Lord to love one another, how do I know that I'm doing that? Well, it's really easy. I can just say, well, is it because I say so or I say some good stuff? No, really, at the end of the day, it comes down to our actions, really what it does. And so we can look at our own heart and say, how am I doing with this love thing, which can only be outworked in the context of community, of love one another. How am I doing? I can look at my own heart and say, have I really become the somebody else that's doing that? Or have I just said, oh no, I leave everything for other people. See, I didn't write this stuff. This is the Word of God. This is not words of speech, but actions and truth. And we build up the love thing as each part does its work. What's your part? If you don't know your part, come and say, look, I'm not quite sure of what my part is. I would love to talk to someone who come and say, look, I want to do my bit to raise the love thing. I want to grow in the love of God. I want to grow in this radical love, and I want to do my part. I'm not sure. Come and say, please help me. That's what Noel does. That's one of Noel's role in the church as an elder, is to help people if you're in that situation. But if anyone comes and talks to me, I'll be more than happy to say, well, this is some things that you can do. We've got a whole book of stuff that's there available and how we can grab a hold of it, because I want to build this love thing. I want to build it in my life. I want it in our lives, but I want our love to grow together. And as much as it's not about just what we say and it's not about feeling warm fuzzies for everybody, it really comes down to something a little bit more practical than that. And ultimately, when God says he loves us, he put it into action when Jesus died on the cross. That's how we know. It actually requires something of us to get this love thing, to build it into our life. And it's amazing, you think about it, Jesus, who was the greatest lover of all, he was the greatest servant of all. Jesus said, I have not come, I've come to give my, not to be served, but I've come to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. That's what Jesus said. The greatest lover of all was the greatest server. And so that's how we know that we're growing in this love thing, how well that we are serving one another. And we can look at that. I don't want you to look at other people and judge them, because if you're starting to do that, you've missed the whole love thing anyway. This is about looking at myself and saying, Lord, I don't want to try to push things onto, because I want the love to grow in my life. And I can't let it grow in my life unless I grab a hold of this whole deal of each part doing its work. Lord, I want to grow in this love thing. I want us to grow in this love thing. So, Lord, I want to do my part. It's going to require some work, Maybe you don't like the word work, but that's what it requires if we're going to fulfill that very command that our Lord Jesus Christ has done. And the amazing thing about this love thing is we're serving one another. I'm not talking about reaching the world yet. We'll get onto that another time. But the wonderful thing about it, and that's what is remarkable, not only when I serve you, am I growing in my own understanding and expression of God's love in my life. And not only in doing that am I helping you grow in that by showing you the love of God and helping you grow and maybe even being the answer to a prayer in the whole process of loving one another. The amazing thing is that when I do that, God actually sees it as it's been done for him. Sort of goes back full circle. It's amazing. And Jesus says, he said, look, people will come before in heaven and he'll say, said, Lord, when did I give you a cup of water and something to drink? When did I serve you a cappuccino? When did I give you that cappuccino? When did I give you the coffee? When did I do that? When did I put the communion out? When did I do that? He says, you did it for me when you visited someone who's sick or when someone was in prison or whatever. He says, you actually did it to me, not for me. You did it to me. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? That when we're serving and loving one another, because God is within us, we're actually doing it for him anyway. Isn't that pretty powerful, pretty amazing? I think it's amazing. See, sometimes we do things for all sorts of motives, but we do it simply because we love God. And Lord, I love God with all my heart and I want to grow in this love thing. So Lord, I'm going to get a hold of this. I'm going to serve and I'm going to be serving faithfully one another. And then doing that is showing that love that we have for one another. As I do that, I'm growing in God's love. His love is complete among us and within me and I'm growing. But above that as well, God actually sees that I've done it for him. And when I stand before him, he says, thanks for the cappuccino. I really appreciate it. Thanks for vacuuming my carpet. Because it was a mess, you know, some kids left a mess and parents just left it. But you vacuumed my carpet. Thank you so much. When did I vacuum your carpet? Remember that you did that? Remember the time you took my bins out? God, you have bins? Yeah, remember? Remember you took the rubbish out? And think, God, you actually noticed that stuff? God actually notices that stuff. And he delights in that stuff. And again, why do we do that? Well, we don't do it because we're trying to get credit with God and not because we're trying to impress anybody and not because of duty. Look, there's something the Bible talks about as being faithful. But I don't want to be faithful in the sense of I grit my teeth and I do what I've got to do because there's no love in that. This is all about love that we're talking about. It says, I love God and there's an overflow of gratitude and love in my life and so I want to serve him. And as I serve and as I express that, I'm actually helping you grow in your love and I'm growing in my love and we're all growing and being built up in that. And something that is so important for every one of us to grab a hold of. Each does its part. If we really want to do this love thing, radical love, to love as Jesus said, to live the life of love, not just a loving occasion, to live a life of love. We've got to grab a hold of it. Well, what is my part? You know, what is my part? People that faithfully serve on the door and ushers, people that help us, stewards that help us in many, many different ways. But maybe you're someone who says, oh, I've really dipped out on the part. I'm not really doing that. But I love God and I want to grow in this love thing. I really do. And so I want to serve one another. And so that's how we can look in our heart and say, Lord, yeah, I really want to do this. I want to grab a hold of that. One more passage I really want to just speak about and maybe close with this, or maybe this one or maybe after. But this one, Galatians 5, 13 and 14. It's a passage that we might know, but I love this from the Message. It says, it's absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. I love that. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Don't use this as an excuse to do whatever you want to do. It's not about that. We're free in God. We're free before God. We can stand before God with total confidence. We have everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness because of Jesus Christ in our life. And we have this incredible freedom. It says, don't use the freedom to go off and do whatever you want. use it to serve one another in love. In agape is the word. Use the freedom. And so it's got to be free, because if it just becomes duty, obligation, well, I better do it then, you miss the whole point. And you could come under bondage. No, no, it's because we love God and we want to grow in this love thing. And I love Him with all my heart. And the expression of the overflow and the freedom that I have in God is to love and to serve. And I pray that every one of us grab a hold of this, because this is, that's an act of true freedom. You're really free when you're serving, when you're not living for yourself, when you're not living for your own world and your own problems, but you're living and say, no, I'm going to serve the one another. The one another is within the context we're talking about here, within the church family. The love one another. I've written to specific churches. Love one another. You guys, love one another. We're going to talk about loving the world and reaching out to people, but love one another. Some people are very loving towards the world, but the one another they miss. Let's radically love one another. And it says that's freedom. Remember Jesus said, He said, freely that you have received, freely give. We can freely do it. Love is overflowing in our lives. It overflows in our life. And that's why I can say, I am somebody else. I am different because I'm born again and I have Christ within me and I can do that. I'm not going to just leave stuff around, you know, food lying on the floor. I'm not going to, you know, just leave something for somebody else. Because no, that's me. Because I want to see the radical love of God in my own life grow. Every one of us, grab a hold of that. Lord, yeah, I want to love. I want to live this life of love. I want to be built up in it. I want the whole church to grow in it. How do I do it? Then I've got to do my part. As each part, without exception, each part. Not the one that, oh no, this one, this toe is a bit bruised. It can't do anything. No, we still need the toe. It's still needed. Whatever we're going through, whatever situation, what struggle, we still got to do our part. And I encourage you to do that. If you don't know your part, come and say, look, I want to do this. I want to grab this love thing in my life. And one of the things I really want to challenge is, look, in the next couple of weeks, why don't you do that? Take the challenge to do that. Do something different. Do something radical in the life of the church. To someone in the church, to love one another. So pick a one another, not someone outside the church, someone inside the church. We keep reaching out. We're always loving people. But this is something about seeing God's love made complete in us, about building ourselves up. Love one another. Pick someone in the church and do something radical, something different. Now, it depends on what's radical for you. You know, like the fact that you actually did something, well, that might be pretty radical for some. But do, if you've done, find someone and serve them radically. Do something out of the box, over the top, unmerited, undeserved even if you think, but just over the top, find someone and just bless them. What a wonderful thing it is. You know how that person will feel to love, be loved of God when that happens to them? Because you're actually being God's hands and His heart as you love them. How much more are you going to be built up when you just know? It's just a wonderful thing to be able to show God's love. Because every time that God's love pours out of you, it doesn't totally all go. A little bit more stays and you build up in it and you love all the more. You're never diminished when you serve and love. You actually grow in the whole process. So do that. I love to come back from the Philippines and hear all these fantastic testimonies of people that have been radically loved, because some people realize, hang on, I'm not going to leave it to someone else. I'll leave it to, yeah, they'll do it. No, I'm the somebody else. Each, every person, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to build it into my lifestyle. I'm going to radically love. And I'm not going to just leave it for everyone else. No, somebody else is me. I'm going to serve and I'm going to get a hold of this love thing. As I said, I didn't write the scripture. It's what the Word of God says. It's about His love is made complete in us as we love one another. And the body builds itself up as each part does its work. Build up in what? In love. You want to grow in love. Each part does it. Let's take that challenge to radically do that. So begin thinking. Now, they might not be even here this Sunday morning, but they're part of the church family. Maybe they're on the edges, and maybe you haven't seen them for a while. You think, well, maybe I can radically love this person in some way. I'll go over the top. I'm just going to bless them. You know, I'll buy them some groceries. I'll cook them not just a casserole. I'm going to make them a feast. You know, I'm going to whatever. Maybe you've written a little note before. I'm not going to write them a note. I'm going to write them a book. I'm going to whatever it is. Be radical in your love and expressing it. And you will be so blessed when you do that. And the love just grows. And when an unbeliever walks in and thinks, man, these guys are for real. You know, everyone can talk about it. Oh, isn't it? Oh, yes, we love one another. We're all skipping through the roses. But really, oh, skip through roses, you get cut, wouldn't you? through whatever those things, tiptoeing through the tulips or whatever else. But these people are for real. And the Bible says is that they will know that we are Christians because of our love. They'll see it's the real deal. And the world are looking for that, because people will say all sorts of stuff. But it's when the rubber hits the road. And I pray that we're going to grow with this radical love, love for one another. And God will work that in our life. 1 Corinthians 16:14 finally says, do everything in love. Everything in love. Everything in agape. Everything. The only way to do that is to live a life of that. How am I going to grow in my agape? Is to grow in this service. How do I know how well I'm tracking in my radical love? How do I'm building up? How well am I loving one another? Not just words, not just how you're going, but actually love, truth and action. Let's stand to our feet. I want to pray for that this morning. Well, also what I want you to do is just to find someone nearby you. I just want you to lay a hand on them. So find somebody else. Now, you're somebody else, so you can lay one hand on you, one hand on a different person maybe. I just want to pray that this God is just going to break something through within our hearts and mind. You know, we've got a list there of people that we need to help for the concert. I pray this morning that list is going to be, we're going to need more paper, because you're not going to say, oh, somebody else will be on security, somebody else will do that. No, I'm somebody else. I'm going to do that. Let's fill that. But let's pray. Father, just as we come before you, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we are that one body together. And Lord, it's because of Jesus Christ that we are brothers and sisters. It's because of Jesus Christ that we are one family together. And Lord, your word says to love one another. Lord, we want to learn more about your love. Lord, we want to grow in your love, Lord, this great love that you have, Lord, that we can live this life of love. And Father, we realize that we can't do that on our own. Father, we can't do that as a little monk on a hill somewhere. But Lord, we need one another, Lord, and that requirement to work, to do my bit, Lord, to love one another causes the whole love to grow in the whole body. And so, Father, we don't want to rob the body by missing out, but Lord, we just love one another, Lord, that I might grow, that we might grow, that together we're growing in the revelation of your great love and that love we have for each other. So, Lord, I just thank you today. Lord, I pray that every person here will say, yes, I'm not going to look for somebody else because that's me. I'm going to do it. It needs to be done, I'll do it. I'm not going to shirk it. I'm going to grab a hold of it because I want to grow in love. And as the love of God flows in my life, I grow and we all grow. So Father, help us, Lord, to express your heart, Lord, as we're your hands. And Lord, as we speak your words. And Lord, as we touch hearts of one another in your name, Lord, let your love flow through us. And Father, all the more we want to grow as your people. Father, I just think of those that aren't here this morning. Father, maybe we could pick some of those, Lord, and just bless them, Lord. Because as we bless them, we're all going to grow. Even though they might have missed this morning, Lord, as we bless them, Lord, the church will grow in love. And Father, we all want to grow in that love. So Lord, continue to do your work upon our lives. And Father, if there's anybody here this morning that has never given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, I pray, Lord, that they will come this morning. And Lord, they will say, yeah, I need that. I need Jesus in my life. I need to give my life to him. I need to know what it is to have eternal life. I need to have that hope and that purpose. Lord, I pray, Lord, this day, Lord, that they will come and receive you in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray, Lord, let there be such a release of love among your people. Father, I look forward to great testimonies. And Lord, it becomes not just an exercise, it becomes a lifestyle. Lord, let it be, Father, I pray. Wonderful acts of love, Lord, to build us up and grow us, Lord, in your way, Father. We just pray for that now in Jesus' wonderful name. Lord, anyone that's struggling here this morning, they think that they can't for whatever reason, they're too busy, they're too tired, they're struggling. Father, I pray, Lord, that every part of the body, every person, Lord, sees that they've got a part, Lord. And Lord, that we're all diminished if they don't do that. Lord, help people to see, Lord, that your grace will enable them to do what you ask of them. So, Father, just bless those. Anyone that's struggling, Lord, lift them up this day. But, Father, continue to pour your love and grace upon us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.